This is Fresh Air. Today we remember Willie Mitchell, the trumpeter and record producer who owned High Records of Memphis and recorded hits by, among others, Al Green, including this one.
Love and happiness, yeah, something that can make you do wrong, make you do right, yeah. Love. Love and happiness. But wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone. 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Talking about how she can make it right. Yeah. Yeah. Happiness is when you really feel good about somebody. There's nothing wrong being in love with someone, yeah. Hey. Oh, baby, love and happiness.
Love and happiness. Hey.
Love and happiness.
Love and happiness.
That was Love and Happiness by Al Green, produced by Willie Mitchell. Mitchell died yesterday, 2 weeks after suffering a cardiac arrest. He was 81. Today, we'll play back interviews Terry Gross recorded with Willie Mitchell and with Al Green. In 1991, Al Green told Terry how he met Willie Mitchell.
I met him in the country out in Midland, Texas, in Odessa, Texas, out there. I met him out there. And, he asked me about going to Memphis to sing on a recording, because he worked at a studio. And we were riding in the car that day, and I said, how long do you think it'll take me? I was so flamboyant, I don't understand how I did it. I was riding with this guy, and I says, how long will it take me to become a star? He says, and he swallowed and like choked, right? He says, a star? Well, about 2 years probably, if you really work at it. I said, excuse me, let me out. I don't have any kind of time. He says, you're not serious. I said, I'm serious. I don't have 2 years to waste on practicing to become a star. In fact, I need some money now. And really, so he took me down the high. He says, this kid's going to be phenomenal. They says, how do you know that? He says, because he's got it in him. And so he borrowed $1,500 for me from the president of the company to get me a place to stay and all that, and says, I want to work with him because he's going to be phenomenal. Just watch.
Gee, it really pays to have chutzpah, huh?
I guess. I just told him I wanted to be what I wanted to be.
Now, the first song that he asked you to record was a cover of the Beatles' I Want to Hold Your Hand, right?
Would you believe that?
It really is hard to believe. Why did he choose that?
I have no idea.
What was your reaction to it?
My reaction was good. I thought it was a great song. It was a wonderful song, but it was for the Beatles. I sung I Want to Hold Your Hand. I sung Driving Wheel. We was trying to find Al Green. That's what we was trying to find. Who is this guy? Who is this guy with the high falsetto and the rough voice? And Willie says, I tell you what, don't sing with a rough voice. I said, well, what do you want me to do? He's cutting all these different songs about different people, just a lot of songs. He says, sing mellow. Don't sing hard. Sing mellow. And I just went out there and started singing, I'm so tired of being alone. And I'm so tired of on my own. Help me, girl, as soon as you can. And I looked in the studio mirror. They have this glass, right? And you're looking at the engineers. Yeah. And everybody was jumping up and jumping up and jumping up. And I says, well, I must be doing something right. So I just keep on saying, people say. And that's, I don't know how that started. That's the way it started.
Well, that was your song. It was a song you wrote. So you already had it written.
Yeah, I said, well, after we got done cutting all these other people's songs, the Beatles, and all these blues songs and the Temptations, I Can't Get Next to You, and all these songs. I says, I got a song too. So Willie says, oh, please. Because he'd been cutting all day. We'd been cutting all day. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. I says, I got me a song, and I wrote it on my own. So Willie told one of the guys, go out there and see what he got, would you please? I got to have a drink. Willie had a little shot of vodka or something. And after he went to feeling better, he says, all right, what we got out here? And it was this song, Tired of Being Alone. And I worked it up with the band. And I sung it, and it became our first million seller.
Well, I'm going to play it.
Let's play it. Come on. Let's play it.
This is Al Green's first big hit, a song he wrote, Tired of Being Alone.
That's Tired of Being Alone by Al Green, produced by Willie Mitchell. Now let's listen to a bit of Terry's conversation with Willie Mitchell from 1995.
Tired of Being Alone, is that the recording that you think really established his sound, both as a songwriter and a singer, and maybe your sound as a producer as well?
Right. I think that was the beginning.
This has not only great singing, but it has a great arrangement behind him. Did you do the arrangement yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about what went into that arrangement, into the horns and the backup singers?
Well, I used to be a jazz player, and we always used strange chords, not regular chords that other people use. And I think we had some minor nines in there that people weren't using then. So the arrangement was built on chords that really weren't used in R&B records.
More of jazz chords?
More jazz chords, right.
What about the backup singers that come in? How did you decide to use backup singers, and what kind of sound were you looking for in those singers?
Well, you're speaking of Don and Sandra Rhodes. They used to have a country show. They come on every Saturday, and I'd watch them. And they was like 16, 17 years old. And we had the studio way over in the ghetto. So I called their mother and I said, your children have really good sound with their voice. I said, I'd like to come over to the studio and work with them. She said, I don't know about that. But anyway, sooner or later they came to the studio, Donna and Sandra Rhodes. And we began to do some background on different things, and they sounded great. And I loved the sound. They went to the Bee Gees. They sang for everybody. Frank Sinatra and everybody.
Now, I'm surprised that the singers that first captured your attention were country singers.
What's the sound they had? It's the sound they had. I was trying to really do something that no one else had done in Memphis. And once I put that together and put the right musicians together, I had a sound that was different, but still had feel to it.
You said you were putting together a sound nobody else had done before. What was different about your sound?
Well, we're speaking of Al Green things. I was trying to get Al Green to sound jazzy on top and softer, and the band to be thundering on the bottom of it and pretty in the middle. And that's what Don and Summer, Don and Rose and them done. They were pretty in the middle, and we had Al Jackson on drums, and it was thundering out of the bottom, and Al was on top doing jazz chords and everything. So that was the difference.
Now, you grew up in Memphis, right?
Right.
What kind of music did you hear when you were growing up?
A whole lot of bebop music. Everybody wanted to be Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie, including myself. Then there was a guy came from Chicago. He lived in Memphis, named Unger Horn. He went to school with Quincy Jones and Billy Strayhorn. He came to Memphis. He changed the whole picture of music in Memphis. He organized a big band, and this guy was so great. He won of my idols. He taught me everything. In fact, that's his arrangement on Cher for Isaac Hayes.
Oh, really? That's a great... I love that arrangement.
Yeah, that's Unger Horn. He passed away a while back.
So he taught you a lot about arranging.
Oh, yeah. He taught me everything.
Willie Mitchell, how did you first join High Records?
Oh, that's funny. I had a real popular band in Memphis. We used to work at in Arkansas across the river,
mm-hmm.
a club called Danny's Club. And it became real famous because Bill Black used to come in, Elvis would come in.
Yeah, Bill Black used to play with Elvis.
Yeah, he was his bass player. So they decided to make a record with High Records. And I had a piano player named Joe Hall. He was real good. And they wanted to use him. So I carried him to High. And they made a record called Smokey Part 2. And it was a big seller. And after that, they were trying to come up with other hit records. They couldn't do it, so they called me, and I became Bill Black's arranger. And that's how I got into High.
So you started recording your own band at High Records.
Right.
You did mostly instrumentals. In fact, why don't we hear one of the instrumentals you recorded? This was Soul Serenade, which was a hit for you in 1968.
Right.
It's one of your compositions. Why don't we hear it?
Good.
Back when you first got to High Records and you were recording and producing instrumentals, what was the record label like?
It was like two guys, myself and Ray Harris. That's what it was like. We'd stay there all night. We'd come up with something. We'd call Joe, and Joe said, he'd approve it, and he'd put it on the street.
Now, had you worked with recording technology before?
No, not really, no.
So did you teach yourself?
I taught myself, right.
Were there mistakes you made early on before you learned the ropes?
Well, I made mistakes, but I didn't make them once.
Well, what's one of the mistakes that you made?
Well, I told a guy once, I said, you know, you're a great producer, but you taught me more than anybody I've known. He said, what did I teach you? I said, you taught me not to never make a record like you make it.
What was the record?
I'm not going to tell you.
Was there a special way you had of miking Al Green's voice? And did you mic him any differently on Can't Get Next to You?
No. I had one mic, a DX-77 mic I used on Al all the time. And I wouldn't let anybody else use the mic. And I had a setting on it, I'd keep it there all the time. And it's the mic he sang all of his records on.
Trumpeter and record producer Willie Mitchell speaking to Terry Gross in 1995. He died yesterday at age 81.